to be led by. And I just pray for our congregation as well. May we all just grow from this. May we all hear your word, not my words, but your words. And whatever your will is, Lord, may it be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So really quick, this just sort of came to me since I am a bit nervous. How about we all stand up? You know, it was a long 2 days, I guess, 2-3 days for our retreat. I want to stand up, and I want you to turn. Let's turn to your right. Yeah, turn. Sorry, that was my right. Turn to your right. Yeah, you got the idea. You're going to massage a person in front of you. Okay. Ow. Second of this light.
It's all right.
You don't need to see me.
Black on white.
All right. Turn to your left. Ow. Ow, it hurts. Well, I'm pretty tired. So. I know. Alright guys, you can sit down. Alright, I hope that loosened you guys up. Got you guys a little bit more awake. You're more sleepy? That's okay, because we have Bible verses to go through. Hopefully this will wake you up. Alright, so let's read this. This is what our sermon is going to be based off. I'm going to speak on will be based off. If you guys were here yesterday, our devotion was James 3, if you so chose. And well, you had a choice. Or James, the whole book. So let's read this together. James 3, 1-12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble when he says he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. And if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at ships also. They are also so large and are driven by strong winds. They are also guided by a very small rudder. It will the pilot direct. So also is the tongue, a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by small fire, and the tongue is a fire full of excess. Staying the whole body, staying the fire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Every beast, bird, reptile, creature can be tamed, has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, and the restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, with it curse people who are made in likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these ought not to be so. The spring pour forth the same opening, both from fresh and salt water. To a fig tree, my brothers, are always get me fixed. Neither salt on yields fresh water. So what does this verse mean? So I actually went through and I actually highlighted a couple words for us to better understand what's really the point of this passage we just read. So the first topic and the subject that James is talking to is that not many of us should become teachers. Now, I do want to say that this is definitely for teachers who's teaching other people the word, but in a sense, I think all of us technically are teachers because we all should be evangelizing to other people and telling other people about God. So we should all be technically careful about what we say to other people. Because as teachers, we are going to be judged with greater strictness. Whether it means like me who's up here, or teachers who teach, such as Sunday school, or are judged with greater strictness than people who are just evangelizing. I don't know about that, but it's definitely we want to be careful about what we say to other people. Because, and James continued to have, he has four comparisons to the tongue in this passage. So the first one, which is not coming up, there you go, is bits into the mouths of horses. Okay, so bits, I actually have a picture, but I'll show that later. Bits, they're really small things. I don't know if you guys have seen it. That goes in the mouth. It goes in our mouths, and it's tied to like a rope. And if you move the rope this way, what happens to the head of horse will turn this way, and then he'll naturally turn to the left. If you go this way, you know, you basically yank his head to go the other way, and he'll naturally go to the right. So it's not a big piece, but it definitely can change the direction of... let's all stare at Jason now. Not just... He's trying to make me nervous. Okay. So this is the small thing that can really change the direction of a horse. And the big horse is really big. And then we also have ships, which is guided by rudders. And have you ever seen a rudder? Rudder is not that big compared to the ship, but it can also change its direction and make it go wherever it wants to go. And he makes that direct comparison to our tongue, which is small. And in this verse it says it boasts great things, but at the same time it can make big, very big changes to other people. I actually had a picture, so let me go to that picture. Here we go. So you see that's a picture of a bit. You can't really see it, but in his mouth, the horse is biting something that is pretty small, and you can see where the rope is. So that's how you can guide the horse. And then a rudder, can you guys see it? Just right there. It's a really small piece right there. That really small piece can guide the boat wherever it wants to go. Okay, let me go back to here. There's a lot of underlined stuff, and it's not going back. Oh, there we go. All right, so in this passage, in this part, there's more comparisons to our tongue. So it gives first that the tongue is a fire, a world of righteousness. And when you're looking at this passage, there's a lot of things when it's talking about the tongue, that the tongue is can be very destructive, like a fire. So you have a fire's world of righteousness, and it can basically set a forest on fire, even though the fire is really small. And then it can stain the whole body. You know, when it sets the course of entire life, a fire set by hell. And it continues to say this, where our tongue can tame beasts, it can tame animals, it can tame basically all kinds of animals on this earth. But no human being can tame the tongue. And I think that's pretty, when you think about that, it's pretty amazing that we have you ever seen like those serpent tamers? They have like maybe we've seen it like in TV where they have like the, I don't know what it's called. It looks like a clarinet. And they sing to the snake, and the snake comes up and down, right? So we can tame those kind of animals using our mouths, but for God says we cannot tame our tongue. I think if you think about it, a lot of times a lot of words slip through our mouth, and we don't even know, and it could be very damaging. And I think that's just what is said in our hearts. And we have to be careful about that and be aware that our tongue can be very damaging. And James continues to say that it's a restless evil, full of poison. And then the last comparison that James has in this passage is that with our tongues we bless our Lord and Father, and we curse people with the in the likeness of God. So from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And he goes on to say with a comparison. Oh, I didn't have those underlined, but that's okay. In verse 11, where it says, "A spring, does a spring have fresh water and salt water? Or can a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs?" If you guys ever seen a tree, like say you have an apple tree, would you find it strange if it suddenly produced, let's say like it produced bananas, right? You would find it really odd, right? Or if you see like a tomato plant and suddenly it produced apples. That's the kind of comparison that James is putting it for our tongue. That we shouldn't be, if we're going to be blessing God and worshiping God with our tongue, we shouldn't be cursing people or saying bad things about people. It's just something that we should definitely be aware and definitely work on our own mouth. So this is a picture of a fire, and if you look at the picture to the left, that's a small fire. Now you pick the picture right, I just took a random picture of a really big fire. But if you're thinking about it, you know, this time right now is summer, and recently we've been having a lot of forest fires. Now, how do most of the fires start? It's usually through a fire like, does this have a laser on it? Where's the laser?
Don't look at it.
I was looking at this way. Don't worry, I was looking this way. Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Alright, so here's the small fire, right? That's how most forest fires are started, through these small fires. Whether it be someone who didn't clean up their campfire, or because the weather's dry and create some kind of smart, it creates a small fire. Maybe even smaller than this. It might be like even a spark. And eventually those fires become something like this, a very big fire. And that's the comparison that if we look back here, is that our tongue is small, but the forest can be set ablaze by a small fire. Some very big effects that can happen from our tongue. All right, so now I have activity for all of us. Oh, why is this on this side? It should be over here. Anyway, so we're going to be doing some things for where we're going to be listing curses and blessings that come from our tongue. So I'm going to leave it open for you guys. What do you guys think? What kind of curses do we say from our mouth? And what kind of blessings do we say? Just shout it out. Okay, that is one. When we say curse words.
Sarcasm.
Okay, sarcasm is a good one.
Blame.
Yeah, blame's good.
Name calling.
Name calling. We can have blessings too, not just curses.
Good name calling.
Good name calling.
Phrasing?
Phrasing's good.
Encouragement.
Good.
Affirmation.
Any others?
Compliments.
Prophecy. Good.
Judgment.
Yeah. Not where we generally like to hear, but judgment, yeah, that's a good one. Jealousy. Very good. So these are three that you guys definitely list a lot more than I have. I listed only three of each. So I put being critical. I think sometimes being critical can be a curse, depending if it's not very constructive. It can be definitely very harmful. Quarreling or fighting. I think fighting, when we fight with people, and generally not in a very good way. And generally, it usually might result to like name calling or blaming people. A lot of times, that's what happens when we quarrel, when we fight. And obviously, from the word curse, using curse words. So that would be things like that I cannot say here. But generally, you know, words that definitely. Yeah, you shouldn't. Well, any word, anywhere. But anywhere, yes. anywhere, you cannot say those words. You shouldn't be saying those words, because those are not really glorifying to God. And from blessings, I have encouragement, prayer. I think we can definitely pray for other people, pray for yourself. And we also, from our tongue, we also sing and worship God. Okay? All right, so just a raise of hands. How many of you would like to be known as someone who curses? That's very good. Nobody raised their hand. All right, so then how many of you would like to be known as someone who blesses other people, blesses other people, you know, bless God? We're all like half raised. It's like, I'm not sure. No, it's not a trick question. I think in general, all of us want to be people who know who are blessed, who blesses other people. And I think now that I got most of the majority that who says I want to bless other people, I think that's the way that God made us to be, that we should be blessing other people. So when we say words that definitely putting other people down or hurting them, I think that's God's way of telling us, you know, we should be going the other direction. A lot of times, we're not really sure what direction that would be. So I have 3 points, and this is the first point of how we can guide our tongue. And you guys are free to tell me what you guys think about this later. And I just have some Bible verses that are based on what we can do with our tongue to make our tongue more of a blessing and less of a curse. So the first point I have is practically we should use our tongue to build others up and not for tearing them down. And we actually read this verse on Friday. Well, this is not the verse, but this verse that I based it on. So let's read this together. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So in the NIV, it says no unwholesome talk. This is the ESV version. And I think most of us know that it's basically saying don't use any words that will basically tear people down. We want to make sure that the words we have is good for building people up. And we also read, I added this, actually I had this in my sermon before Friday, but then I heard this one, which I added it afterwards, and I thought this was good. And we also read this on Friday. We actually read more of Hebrews, but this one I thought was good. So let's read this together, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. So obviously from this passage, it's encouraging, it's basically telling us to encourage other people to continue to do good things. And I think that's the Bible is really telling us as a body, we should be encouraging each other. And by that way, it definitely helps us to continue to do God's work. I like how a lot of you guys recently, these past couple of days when you guys heard that I was preaching, it really encouraged me when a lot of you guys came and always told me, you know, don't worry about what you say. I'm not sure you're going to do well. Yeah. A lot of you guys came and gave me a hug, you know, gave me high five. And I'm pretty sure all of you guys meant well. Alice came, told me good luck. I really appreciate that, actually, because I'm really nervous, and it's not very easy for me to be here for my first time. But I think that's the way that the body of Christ should be. We all should be, when we see someone who's going to be doing something that's good or thinking about doing something, we should be encouraging them to continue to do that. I think it's very easy for us to put other people down. A lot of times, it's easy for us to say, oh, this guy, he's not doing the right thing. Or he's, you know, just look at him. Well, why are you doing this the way that you're doing it? I think that's easier for us to do. One thing that I wanted to share was that, so Wayna actually recommended I share this. And it sort of happened yesterday. So we were going through my sermon yesterday. And Wayna, after I finished, Wayna actually said, I think your sermon is just a bit, it just ends too abruptly. It's too short. And when I first heard that, I think Wayne could tell right away that I actually felt like, oh, it's going to go pretty poorly, huh? But I know that wasn't her intention. But, you know, and we definitely made up after that. But the point was that even though her intention was definitely not to harm me, and definitely wasn't really like, it wasn't curse words or anything like that, but those words, even though it's constructive, can hurt other people, and we need to be sensitive to those kind of things. I think as Christians, sometimes we're not as sensitive. We generally say, oh, that's a sin, so you are sinning, stop doing that. Instead of trying to find a way where we can lovely correct someone, lovely tell them, this is the way you should be going, and it's not, I'm trying to tell you this because I love you, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to tell you this thing, so that when you hear this, you know that I love you, and I really took time to think about how I'm telling this to you. And I think that's one thing that I think we as Christians, we generally think it's just cursing is bad, but even our words, how we put it, can be something that we need to be considering how to encourage others, instead of paralyzing people and making them sort of frozen. One more example I want to share before I move on to my next point is, I just thought about this because I just saw some kids from, or not, they're not really kids anymore, but I saw some of my old students from Awana, and there's also my current students in Awana as well. And it just reminded me of one thing in Awana that we like to teach the kids. So a lot of times when we're teaching the kids in Awana, we're taught to always use positive reinforcement. And I don't know if you guys know what that means, but it basically means when you see someone doing something good, you want to enforce the positive behavior. I think maybe parents often, like as Asian parents or teachers, we often hear this. We often hear negative feedback, I guess. Not really negative. I was going to say negative reinforcement. Is it called that? Okay, so negative reinforcement, where it's basically when you see someone doing bad, you tell them, hey, that's wrong. You know, stop doing that. But in Awana, what we do is, because we're all in a big group. For instance, if I see blue team, they're always talking, and they're not lined up and everything. But then I see green team, they're all lined up, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So instead of focusing on the team that's doing bad, we go to the good team and the team that's doing good and tell them, hey, you guys, I like how you guys are lined up and you're not talking, you're quiet, you're actually following the rules. So I'm going to give blue team, you know, 10 extra points for doing what they're supposed to be doing. And by that way, you're not focusing on what the other team is doing bad, but you're focusing on what the other team is doing good and making other people want to follow in that direction, instead of just focusing on what is bad. And I think that's a really good way for us to think about it, is like we often focus on what people are doing wrong instead of focusing on what people are doing right. And that's one way I feel, even myself, we can all improve in this area and encourage other people to do good works instead of focusing on their sins. All right. So this is another verse. Proverbs actually has a lot of words about our tongue. And this one is very good. Let's read this together. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So it's talking about how our words, we should definitely be careful. If you're rash, that means you don't really think about how you word your words, and they could become like sword thrusts, which I'm pretty sure is very painful. But a tongue of the wise, if you really think about how to say your words, it can definitely bring about healing to other people. All right. So some general things that I put down was is to encourage each other. The verse I got that straight from is 1 Thessalonians 5:11, or the previous verses we just read. I talked a lot just about that. And B, I said pray for each other. Now, Pastor Rob and Jane, and they did this very well. And I do wish here at CBCWA we continue doing this. Is what they would do a lot is after service, they would come up, whether to anyone, and they would ask, you know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on in your life? And they definitely listen. They listen to what's wrong, you know, if what are you struggling through. And what I liked a lot was immediately after they hear this, they take it in, you know, they usually on the spot would say, well, let me pray for you. I'll pray for you. A lot of times they would pray for me on the spot. And I think that's something that we can definitely do to each other as a body of Christ. And even to non-Christians, I feel it would be good. I know sometimes non-Christians might not be comfortable with us saying, hey, what's wrong with you? Or let me pray for you right now. But what I do find that's what they do like a lot is when we hear what they're going through, I'm speaking about non-Christians, and we tell them, well, do you mind if I pray for you for on this issue? And a lot of times, they are very accepting. Even if they don't believe in God, they will say, yeah, I would appreciate that if you pray for me. I haven't met a non-Christian who will say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. Most of the time, they'll say, please pray for me. And they'll be okay with that. And usually, after like I pray for them, maybe the next day or the next day or two, I'll tell them, hey, about the thing we talk about, I just want to let you know I pray for you. And a lot of time they'll say thank you. And I think that's one way we can definitely be encouraging not only to the body of Christ, but to other people who don't believe in God. And really show those people, this is how the body of Christ really should work. This is how God really intended things to be. And that's one way I feel like we can definitely use our tongue to encourage other people. All right, so my next one is to avoid spreading gossip. So this one we definitely should be careful of, is avoid spreading gossip. And the Bible has a lot of verses pertaining to gossip, actually. The first question I want to ask us is gossip a sin? Some of us might think gossip might not be a sin. So I just want to clarify, let's read through the verses and clarify, is it a sin? Otherwise, then if it's not a sin, then we shouldn't be worrying about it, right? So Romans 1:28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips. And the verse actually continues with many more sins. So if you see through this verse is talking about sinners who are not repentant, they don't refuse to acknowledge God. So God allowed them to continue, basically gave them up to their sin, whatever they like to do, to their debased mind. And their debased mind is basically a sinful mind. And one of the ones we see there is gossips. And it's equating the gossips to all these other sins. And as there's actually more if you read on to Romans verse 30, verse 31. So from this, I think it's pretty safe to conclude, you know, gossip is a sin. So we should definitely be very careful in terms of spreading rumors about people or talking about things that are pretty negative about other people. So let's read this verse together. This verse talks about what can be the effects of gossip. Proverbs 11:13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy keeps the thing covered. So slandering is someone who, or if you're a slanderer, you go out and you tell people about someone that's not true. So for instance, if I told something about David to someone else, like David did something bad. And that might not be true, but those things will spread. And eventually, it reveals secrets about that person. Because If I see Jonathan's doing the face, I'm thinking about this. But the idea is when we are gossiping about people, secrets that they might not want to be revealed will be revealed. But he who is trustworthy in spirit will keep a thing covered. So if you are trustworthy, you know, we would be very, considerate and definitely trustworthy to keep something that is told to you confidential. There we go. That's what I'm thinking about. And I think that's something that we appreciate. When you're telling something to a brother or sister, and it might be sensitive. We don't want those things to come out. And we should be sensitive to keep things confidential. I'm just going to bring this back again to Pastor Rob and Jen. That I really appreciate about them is that when I ever share something to Pastor Rob, he will always tell me, first, he always assured me that he would keep it confidential, but he would also tell me, if he wanted to tell Jen, he would first ask me, do you mind if I tell Jen about this? Because I want to pray for you with Jen. And sometimes I would say yes, sometimes I would say no. But I feel that that's something that he was very sensitive about, that he knew that even just telling one other person, and who said that, who obviously I'm pretty sure he trusts Jen, but he knows it would be confidential, but he would respect me. He would respect me by asking me, "Do you mind if I share to this person before he shared it?" Instead of saying, "Well, I know this is my wife, so I'm going to share it to this person anyway." I mean, that's one way that I feel that we can definitely be more respectful and more sensitive to other people. Is if you're, I'm not saying, well, in a sense, we want to share to definitely a lot of things we share to our spouse, but I think also we share to our friends. And we can definitely be more mindful by saying, "If do you mind if I share this with Daniel because he's part of EMT?" Right? Can we pray for EMT? Because the more you talk to other people, the more possibility that it can spread, and we definitely don't want that to happen. So we definitely want to be mindful of that, and we want to be mindful that we're not gossiping about other people. So this is the effects of what can happen when things do spread. So let's read this together, Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer spreads close friends. So this is something that can happen. Is we can spread strife. So strife is something that is basically causing tension between other people. And a whisperer, in the NIV, this is from ESV. The NIV actually translates this word to be gossipers. So a gossip can separate close friends. And that's something that I feel that we need to be wary of. We don't want to break the body of Christ by gossiping about each other. A lot of churches, not just our church, but many other churches and many other organizations, a lot of times this is what separates a lot of them, is gossip. And it's very easy because in church, we generally feel we should be safe to share what's in our heart. But a lot of times those are places where a lot of gossip happens. I do feel our church is doing a very good job of sharing and keeping our secrets, but we definitely need to be aware because things do come out sometimes. One thing that I heard before, because of my connections to other churches, I did talk about to one of my friends at another church, and he did tell me one time that he was thinking about coming to our church, but for some reason he heard some rumor about someone at our church, and it's a pretty negative rumor about this person. And my friend actually told me he doesn't want to come to our church because of this rumor that he heard, which he thought it could be true, it could not be true. And I do feel that that's something we need to be careful of, is that these things can spread. And actually, in this case, spread to someone who is completely outside our church. We definitely don't want gossip to prevent people from coming to our church. We definitely don't want gossip to be hurting other people. There was one time I even heard gossip about myself, and it was sort of interesting. I actually heard this from one person who was told by another person, and then was told by the original person. So the original person told one person who told the second person, and then that person got to me, right? And at first, obviously it was very negative, and I got hurt. My feelings were hurt, but that was not it wasn't the gossip itself that really hurt me. But what really hurt me was I felt like I know this person is in the body of Christ, and if this person really loves me, why wouldn't this person just come to me and tell me where I am sinning, what am I doing wrong, instead of which is not necessarily spreading this around and telling people what I did wrong. The Bible, tells us we should confront sin, but not to gossip. So I do want to, keep us aware that we don't want that to happen. If you really love, like, your neighbor, we don't want to needlessly hurt people. We will want to confront people in love, and that's something that I would encourage us to do. Basically, let's try not to gossip. Let's try to talk to each other in love. Did the computer run out of battery? Okay. Let me see if I can remember my third point. All right, so the third point that I had was, so this is all off my memory. I actually don't have a lot of notes here. I only have a couple. But my third point was we should edify each other with God's word. Edify and encourage each other with God's word. And I actually had a couple of verses here that I had that always would encourage me. So one of them, I don't remember the exact verse, but it's from 1 Peter. I think it's 1 Peter 5, 7. But I remember the verse is, cast your burdens on Jesus because he cares for you. And that one always encouraged me a lot, because whenever when I am anxious, I'm worrying about a lot of things, or I feel hurt, God commanded us, cast your burdens onto Jesus. Because he loves for you, casting is throwing those burdens onto Jesus. It's a promise that he gave to us, so we don't have to worry. Okay. Another verse that really encouraged me is Proverbs 3, 5-6. I don't know if you guys know this verse. It's pretty famous. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on... not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So this verse always encourages me, because there's a lot of times we don't know what's going on. A lot of things might be going wrong, and there doesn't seem to be an answer in sight. But God, through this verse, showed me that no matter what happens, we need to trust God, not lean on our own understanding, not rely on our own understanding. But by trusting God, we know that he will work things out for the good, and he will make our path straight, whichever way it goes. And we know that God is trustworthy. And I actually had other verses up there, which is not coming up. So, one thing that I did have, if you did notice about each of my 3 points, is that there's a good part and a negative part about our tongue that we can use, which is the theme that I sort of use, is a blessing and or a curse. The negative part where I feel that we can use with God's word is actually possible, is that we can actually misquote God's word. One thing that I would just touch on really quickly is, if you ever look on the temptations of Jesus in the desert, the second temptation that Satan tested Jesus with was actually a misquote from the Bible. He actually used Psalms to misquote Jesus and try to lead him down the wrong way. But thankfully, our Jesus, he knew that he was misquoting it, and he actually used God's word to lead himself back. Well, he's already on the right path, but he knew that how to rebuke Satan by using God's word. So one of the ones that I had that we misquote a lot was, and maybe we hear a lot on TV, is Philippians 4:13. Do you guys know Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through God who gives me strength. And I think a lot of times we hear on TV from sports, maybe like someone to score a touchdown, or like, you see like boxing or MMA, a lot of fighters, they'll do this. If they proclaim a Christian, they'll be like, thank you, God. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. And they're using this verse to say, no matter what, you know, anything, I can do God. I can do all things, anything, whether it be sports, whether it be my work, you know, God gives me strength to do all things. Now, the reason I say this in this quote, because if you look at the context of Philippians chapter 4, if you look at the couple of verses before, Paul is talking about how he's in chain and he's being persecuted. And he's going through a lot of, basically a lot of trials, a lot of struggles at that moment. And he's saying, through those struggles, I can do all things through God. God gives me strength to do all things. So he's not talking about anything I can do anything because God gives me strength. He's talking about through those struggles, through those persecutions, I can do all things. And I think that's one, definitely God can help us do all things, but we need to be careful about using God's word and not misquoting what the original meaning of the text is. Another one I have up there is Matthew 8:18-20. This one is, if two or three gather in my name, I am with them. And a lot of times we use this to say, you know, we should pray in groups, because if we pray in groups, God is going to be with us. But if we look at the Bible in a whole, we know God's with us no matter what, even if you're one person or whether you're in a big group. So what does that mean with this verse? So again, if you look at context for this verse, if you look at the couple of verses before, this verse is actually talking about, is in the context of church discipline. It's talking about if a brother is unrepentant and he's sinning, and you go to him and he doesn't want to repent, you actually take one or another brother to come and talk to this brother and tell them, why is he sinning? And then it concludes that part by saying, if two or more are gathered in my name, I am with them. So this verse is not talking about we should gather together and pray because God is with us. It's talking about we should gather to confront an unrepentant brother. So that's just something that I feel that we should be careful. A lot of times we use God's word, we misquote it, definitely with good intentions, but we don't want to profane God's word. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen this before. I've seen this at UCI, and I've heard about them. They actually go to a lot of UC campuses. I don't know if they go to USC, you know. This is a group, I forgot what they're called. I think they're called like the Preachers Group or something like that. They actually have a website. That's where I got these pictures from. They post it up pretty proudly. And I think this is one way where we can definitely, if we're not careful, we can definitely send the wrong message about God's word to other people. So what these guys do is they put up very provocative signs on campus, and their purpose is, although it's truth, but their purpose is to basically start arguments. They basically rile up people, so they'll come up to those people and say, why did you put this here? This is harmful, or I don't agree with you. And a lot of times whenever I walk by, I always feel like I should put my head down and I don't know these people, you know, these people are not Christians. Because I just feel like this is definitely, it's not encouraging, it's not really loving, it's really judgmental, basically, I feel. Like, you see the guy in the middle, he just has a sign that says, turn to Jesus or you're burned in hell. That might not be something we might want to send out to other people, or you make me sick, and it lists a lot of sins that people might be doing. I just feel that that's definitely not the message we want to send out. Especially if you look at the Bible as a whole, and the Bible is really talking about how we should love each other, and even though we sin, and just like the stuff I said before, we want to confront each other in love, we don't want to confront each other and be judgmental and persecuting them. So that way, I feel like it would be a better way to bring people to Christ, instead of telling them, hey, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, now you better come this way or you're going to be screwed. I don't think that's the message we want to send out to people in this world. So I'm just going to summarize the 3 points I had. is we want to use our tongue to build others up, not tear them down. Avoid spreading gossip. And number three is to use God's word to edify and encourage each other. One thing I just remember about this one, number three, is one thing that really stuck with me that I thought was encouraging was, now Jason knows this guy. I used to have a basketball coach. His name was Scott. And it's Scott, he was quite a character. And Jason nodded his head. One thing that was really special about Scott was he loved to talk. And I'm not joking. He really loved to talk. He used to mentor me. But what he would do is, like, he would take me out to play basketball, and when we went on our way home, we would just sit in the car and he would just talk. Then for I think several times I was in his car for like 2 hours, and we were just sitting in front of my house and he would just talk the entire time. But one thing that I always appreciated though, like with Scott, was that he, as much as he liked to talk, he liked to talk a lot about either one is basketball, or the other one he liked to talk about was God. And he was very passionate about God. And I think one thing that always made me appreciate him, because even though when he was talking about basketball, it was funny, he always related basketball to God. Like how we should be working as a team, or we should be passing the ball to other people. It was really funny. Although sometimes it was really tiring. But what I always appreciated was he always would tell me, you know, he always said this one phrase, and every time before I left his car, he would always remind me. He said, he would always say, and he would put his fingers up like this. He would say, Roland, there's only three things that are important in life. And then the first thing he'd say, number three is your health. He said, your health is important because you want to be able to take care of your family. Your health is important because if you don't have your health, you can't really do anything for God. And then the second one, he would say, number two is your family. He would say, you know, your family is the second most important. You always want to take care of your family. You always want to, you know, love your family. And then he would say, number one is always God. Always keep God first. And it's funny, that always stuck with me. Even he passed away several years ago, but even after many years, after not hearing that, I still remember that phrase he told me about how our health is important, because we want to do things for God and for our family. Family is important. You know, God tells us already to take care of family. And number one, obviously, keep God first. And we just read that today. We should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's something that I feel that we should definitely have in our hearts. Are we keeping God first? I do wonder, like, sometimes some people might be wondering, like, if you are struggling with your tongue, or you're struggling with, you know, blessing other people, or sometimes words just come out. One thing that I would challenge you guys is what is in your heart? Is your heart really having God there? Is God really the number one priority in life? Or is it your education? Is it maybe your spouse, your girlfriend, or it might be your work? Are you really going to be putting God, you know, God first in your life? Are you really going to love your neighbor as yourself? When we have God first in our lives, when we have God first in our hearts, I think naturally what comes out of us would be God's love. And obviously we're imperfect. Obviously, we're all struggling through things. But we want to make sure in our minds, in our hearts, that God's first. Because what happens if we don't have God first in our lives, or God first in our hearts, and what naturally comes out is what is in your heart. So that would be the challenge I want to have to you guys today, is really look into your heart. If you're struggling with this, or even if you're not, you feel like you're not struggling with this, is God first in your life? Is God first in every single aspect of your life? Are we really loving our neighbor as ourselves? And are we really loving God with all our mind, all our soul, all our strength? I think that's really the message that I want to leave with you guys today. And that's only one aspect we can do with our tongue. So with that, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this morning, Lord. Just thank you for giving me again this opportunity to preach your word. How insignificant I am, but you allow me to preach your word today. I just pray that whatever I said, Lord, I pray that those words would be edifying to my brothers and sisters. I pray for whatever words that I said that might not be your words, Lord, that those wouldn't be remembered. And I just pray that what's really important is the words from your Bible, Lord. The words from your mouth, Lord, not my words from my mouth. May you control our tongue. May you allow us to have you first in our lives and really practice spreading blessings to other people, not curses. And I just really pray for our congregation, Lord. May we continue to do what is right in your eyes, Lord. May we continue to strive to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, especially in the aspect of our tongue, Lord. And I just thank you for this retreat that we had. I just pray for continual blessings for every single one of us. And may you really be the God of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thanks, Roland. Can we have the ushers?